I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
The case of the missing detective is a great jumping on point to get into the world of Dash. However, to get the full story, we recommend you start at Dash, Season 1, Chapter 1 of The Case of the Mysterious Zita Makara. And remember, you can listen to Dash any way you'd like. But if you ask us, you should do it with headphones. You are listening to Dash, The Case of the Missing Detective, Chapter 3. Bouncer. September 1940. Los Angeles has seen many changes since the turn of the century. In fact, the whole world has. Having survived the Great War and a financial crash, while teetering on the brink of another crisis, the City of the Angels is one where there are many dark secrets hiding around every corner. Many of these dark places Dash Malone knows all too well. And tonight, he'll be revisiting one. One where he hopes to find a light in the darkness before it swallows him whole.
It's hard to believe a depression that became so great happened a little over 10 years ago. It's a bigger wonder that after the crash, it took another 4 years to overturn Prohibition. The Volstead Act of 1919 made it illegal to manufacture, sell, barter, transport, import, export, deliver, furnish, or possess alcoholic beverages. Contrary to the result the temperance movement had hoped for, the alcohol ban spiked crime coast to coast and stretched the prison system to its limit. While consumption of booze initially declined, by 1927 there were more underground clubs and speakeasies than there were ever official bars in Los Angeles. It was a time when criminals and cops acted in concert, effectively corrupting and contaminating every public official. Mayor's office itself smuggled liquor right into downtown using a series of tunnels hidden deep beneath the city. Every place had constructed secret rooms where you could find a bar. Menotti's in Venice required a 2-man operated dumbwaiter to reach the bar downstairs, while it fronted as a grocery store to normal passersby. Very much like King Eddie's, merely a piano store to those not in the know. Heck, even Lowe's State had a chute patrons could slide down to its basement saloon for a drink. Speakeasies were places everyone mingled. As long as you got your drink, no one cared who you were or what you liked. There were even a few places that had drag. Even the more macho guys got a rise out of them. Which may have explained that when the 18th Amendment was ratified, a curious thing happened. Something called pansy clubs became the talk of the town. From New York to Chicago, right here to the City of Angels, pansy clubs became all the rage after Prohibition was overturned. And why not? Nobody had money. Why not sit around, get drunk, and watch a fella in a dress sing a little ditty? Or a woman giving Dietrich a run for her money, as long as they did it as entertainment and not in the street. BBB Cellar, named after Bobby Burns Berman, and floor shows with multiple drag acts. Even places like Club Alabama, where Griff cut his teeth, had an annual drag affair. People like Bruce Fletcher started coming up, and even coming out. He played the Bali until just recently. People in this town started turning against people like Mr. Fletcher. against people like me. The pansy craze burned out in a flash, and by the mid-1930s, the raids and vice began to crack down. Harshly. A conservative wave swept through, and as a cop, I avoided raids where I could. So many places closed up as quickly as they opened. A few are still left holding the fort, places like Johnny's or Uncle Dan's. And then there's the Half Moon Street. It's not out in the open, and it's not trying to be. You need to be in the know to get in. And even if you did know, you gotta know the password to get through. Like a speakeasy during Prohibition, if you didn't know, it only looked like a large fabric store from the front end. But the basement... Now, the basement is another story. It's almost as confusing to find the back of the building as it is the front. A myriad of crates and other things obscure the path to a large metal back door. On that door, a half moon has been carved into the metal. A slat, at eye level, opens if you knock, shave, and a haircut. Which I do. And it does.
We are all lying in the gutters.
But some of us are looking at the stars. I hope that password is still good.
Come in.
I enter a small and dark room. The door is shut and bolted immediately. If I wanted to run, too late now.
We haven't used that password in some time.
It's been some time since I've used it.
Which was when?
Let's say, I wasn't a blonde then. There a problem?
Depends.
Standing in front of the door is a man in a knit shirt with horizontal stripes and too small to fit the beef underneath. It resembles George O'Brien, if George O'Brien had arrived here by way of Peru. His name is Sandro, and he looks like he could take King Kong through a few rounds. Not sure if he's giving me a hard time, or if the disguise is working too well.
If you are blonde now, does that mean I get no kiss? Come here, you dick.
Oh. The strapping man puts his arms around me, and for the first time in a long time, I feel the embrace of someone who doesn't want anything from me. Just me.
Compadre!
It's good to see you. I didn't think you'd recognize me there.
Dinah said to keep an eye out. Disguise or no, I'd still know you anywhere.
Oh, and what gave me away?
The password for one.
Ah.
But those eyes. I know them anywhere. Miss you, Dash. We all do. You feel thin, though.
I gave up meat for Lent. Strictly bourbon now.
Lent ended many months ago.
Tell that to the bourbon. Oh, whatever weight I lost, it seems you put it right into those arms.
Aye, you never know when you need a little bit of muscle. And all we have here is me and Dinah's 38. Vice raided a place nearby a few months ago. Friends of ours. Don't know when they're getting out of jail.
Just be careful. You know those arms can't stop bullets.
Be careful yourself, compadre. I don't know what's happening in there. I wish. It's happening right under my nose, and I wish I could stop it.
Some things you can't see until they bite you in the ass.
Ah, that's a thought.
Indeed. Is it still back this way?
Yeah. Through that door. Walk down the hallway. You can't miss it. Busy night tonight.
I'm hoping. He puts his arm around me one more time. Gosh, I just want to go home and forget the rest of this. I give him that kiss he asked for. Mwah! Because these arms wouldn't be the worst things to end up in.
Thank you, compadre. Cuidado. Be careful.
I walk down a dimly lit hallway. Further down I go, the louder it gets. People, music, laughter. It's been a while since I've seen all three of those in the same place. I walk through another doorway, and I'm here. I'm back. Back at the Half Moon Street. ¶¶
You have been listening to Dash, The Case of the Missing Detective, starring Jared Calhoun and Carlos Giga. Written and directed by Dave Ebersol. Sound design by Mick Loro. Music by Christopher Tolomeo and Mick Loro. Cover art by Vinnie Rico. Executive producer Mick Loro. Dash created by Dave Ebersol and Delia Gable. Dash the Podcast is a Light Booth Blackout production. Stay tuned in 2 weeks for the next chapter of The Case of the Missing Detective. Of course, you can hear it early and ad-free on Patreon. Patreon.com/LightBoothBlackout. Thank you for listening. I'm John Barker. Until next time, keep your eyes peeled. Once you know what to watch for, you always know there's more to the story.